All right, before we get into Cincinnati, just on behalf of the team, just want to send our express our appreciation and support for the Boston Police Department, kind of what they've been going through here the last couple of days, the injured officers, their families. Just I know I can imagine, I can't imagine, but I can't imagine the amount of stress that department has to deal with and their challenges every day and the difficulty of the situation that they've been put in. So just want to let them know we're behind them. We appreciate them. We appreciate what they do for us and how they protect us. And we're there for them. Relative to Cincinnati, again, this is a really good football team. It's had, great success over the last several years, winning championships, winning divisions, winning a lot of games, playing really good football consistently. And, it'll be a big challenge for us this week to, in all three phases of the game, be able to compete with them and, be able to play, the level of football that it's going to take, playing and coaching, that it's going to take against, Marvin and his staff and his team. So hopefully we have a good day today, clean up a few loose ends and kind of put the finishing touches on our preparation and, be ready to go here Sunday afternoon. But it's a good football team. It's going to take a good effort all the way around to be competitive. We know that.
The full pads practices coming maybe a day later than the norm. I'm curious if there's any benefit to the team to push that back a day. It seems like
each week we just try to do what we feel like is best for the team, and we move some periods around in practice. We don't always do everything the same as we did it the week before or whatever. Depends on what the needs of that week are, the emphasis points for the preparation and so forth, and pads or no pads is part of that discussion. So it's really week by week.
With the short week, obviously you didn't have any pads that week. I was thinking maybe give the players like another day from the past game to rest the bodies and then have the pads closer to the next game, or is that sort of reading too much into it?
There are advantages to Wednesday, there are advantages to Thursday, right? Thursday gives them an extra day. It gives you a day to kind of get everything in and work on it to a degree and then execute it on Thursday a second time, if you will, maybe at a little better tempo or level of execution. Wednesday puts it a day further away from the game, day closer to the previous game, but a day further away from the upcoming game. So it's, if it's one or the other, when it's one or the other, which it is now, obviously, I think you just try to get the most out of whichever one of those days it is. You just, if it's do something in pads or not in pads, and it's more beneficial to do it in pads, then you try to find a way to schedule it there.
Well, how's David Andrews doing at the middle of your offensive line right now? Could you just give us an assessment of him?
But David's done a good job for us since he's come in here. Been here a year and a half. Been a hardworking guy, very smart, durable, dependable. He's done a good job for us.
Well, what are the challenges of the way Cincinnati runs their double-A gap? I mean, it's obviously been around football a long time, but I guess one of the deals is how much they run out of it.
Right. They give you all the looks with it. They get up there and come. They get up there and just bring one guy. They get up there and don't bring anybody. They get up there and bring guys from the edge. Force you to commit your protection inside to them, and then guys come from the outside in. So, they do a good job of that. They have a good package of it. We do a decent amount of it, too. I can't imagine that We've practiced against our defense going back to the spring, so we've seen probably as much of it as they've seen it from themselves. Still have to block it. They still have a good package off it, and they do a good job disguising it. We've worked on it. You know, it's a good package, but we just have to do a good job with, you know, depending on what play protection we have called, just have to do a good job of executing. But it could be a number of different things. I think that's, you know, the hard part of it is they're up there. They may be coming. They may not be coming. They may be up there to draw your attention to them so somebody else can come, or they may be up there and they're good blitzers. You know, Burfik, Malugo, Vincent Ray, those guys are all Dansby. They're all, you know, they can get pressure, good matchups, and run games and stuff like that up there. So, it's, yeah, they do a good job of it.
DJ Foster didn't get to play as much this summer. I was wondering, what type of development have you seen from him just over the, you know, the course of his first 6 weeks here this regular season?
Well, it's kind of a new position for DJ from, you know, where he was last year at Arizona State, where he was out of the backfield a lot. You know, he's then spent a lot of time as a running back. So running back or has a lot of different responsibilities in terms of blitz pickup, running routes out of the backfield, running plays, reading blocks, so forth, relative to like speed sweeps and things like that. So he has some natural instincts. He's done those things in the past. Certainly he's gotten better on a steady basis. He works hard. You know, for his size, and he's got good playing strength, good toughness. I mean, he's a tough kid, and he works hard at what we ask him to do. But there's there's a lot of things that he's had to work on. He has worked on him. He has improved on him. He made the roster, so, you know, he did enough to do that. But he, you know, still has a lot of room for growth, and I think every day he gains experience back there, and that helps him. And some things he sees, he misses and gets them right the next time. He just hasn't seen everything yet, but he's gaining on it.
As you guys are carrying three practice squad receivers, just wondering why that position. I guess you feel you need so much depth at that particular position.
Most teams in the league are carrying six on their roster. We're carrying five. One of those is obviously our core special teams player in Slater. So, like most positions, the more guys you have on the roster, usually the fewer guys you have on the practice squad. The fewer guys you have on the roster, the more guys you have on the practice squad. So, same thing with the offensive line. With the transaction we made last week, we're, you know, down to eight offensive linemen. That's probably the lowest in the league. So we have more practice squad players on the offensive line because we have fewer players on the active roster.
Bill Tyler, right, for a guy who emerged as a playmaker for them, hasn't been on the field this year. Chance he could play Sunday. How much do you game plan for a guy like Tyler Wright for knowing?
We game plan for everybody on the roster until we know for sure that they're out, whether that's however that information becomes available. Obviously, it's never final until the roster's turned in an hour and a half before the game, the inactives are declared. But up until we feel that a player is out of the game, then we prepare for him. So we do that with everybody every week. There are always a number of guys that are in that whatever range you want to call it. But until they're out, then we prepare for him.
To follow up on that, what do you see from a guy like him, and is it made a little bit easier for your guys going up against such a talented group of tight ends in practice?
I wouldn't put it that way. Look, each player has their own individual skill set. I think he's a good player. I think Eifert's a very good player. I wouldn't say he's identical to players we have on our roster. Again, that doesn't make him bad or good or make us bad or good or anything. It's just different. So matching up the different skill sets of players is part of the challenge this week, in this league every week. You know, all teams have good players, but not all players are the same. You have to find different ways of matching up to each guy, depending on what your individual skill set is, or as a coach, what skills your players have relative to what skills they have. So that's the challenge. He's a good player, and he does a lot for their offense. I mean, he can affect the deep, short, and intermediate levels of the defense. And he's a solid blocker. He's a big target. He's good after the catch, so he creates a lot of problems.
You were breaking down game film with Scott Zolak on Patriots.com, and you were talking a little bit about how on special teams, you, or on the kickoff, you were kind of bunching the coverage team together, and that sort of inhibited blocking a little bit. I wondered if you wouldn't mind elaborating on that and how that lineup sort of positively affects your coverage.
Well, again, there's a lot of different ways to do things, and there's no, I would say, one right or wrong way. When you put a lot of players together, it's less defined for the return team who's where, who's the five, who's the four, who's the three, who's the safety, and also possibly sometimes those alignments of players play into the direction of the kick. Some teams have a kick side, you know, five guys on the kick side, five guys on the back side. So again, depending on how those players are distributed, you know, may give keys to the return team ahead of time. You know, if you just line up straight across, you know, here we are, come and get us, or we're coming to get you. I mean, you know, there certainly takes some of the mystery out of who's where. It's easy to sit back there and identify, I got the three, you got the four. Who's playing the five? Is it a speed player? Is it a size player? Is it, who is it? So the movement can disguise that a little bit. We see that from a lot of teams in the league. We do it some. We don't always do it. There's some advantages on the kickoff team, again, to just line it up and, okay, we know where they are. We can get a good read on our keys. We see where their players are lined up and where they go when the ball's kicked, and we react to them. Or we can be on the move and, you know, maybe make it a little cloudy for the other side, but maybe it's not quite as defined for us either. So, again, there's advantages to doing it both ways. And we do it, and I would say there are a lot of teams in the league that it might be more of one than another, but, you know, I'd say most teams have some element of both. I think there's a place for, you know, different alignments on the kickoff team.
Michael Lombardi spoke yesterday about some of the struggles in the red zone defense so far. Do you look at that as a concern, that element, or is it kind of just the product of a small sample size?
I mean, we're a third of the way through the season, so. I mean, look, we try to improve on everything every week. That's where we are. We're in September to early October. Nothing probably is as good as it's going to be, at least I hope not. As good as it's going to be over the course of the year. Hopefully we'll continue to improve in every area. Running the ball, throwing the ball, defending the run, defending the pass, situational football, special team. I mean, you know, you name it. There are a lot of things we need to work on, a lot of things we need to do better, coach better, improve on, and everything's in that category. So, you know, statistically some things are better than others, but regardless, I think, you know, we try to continue to improve in all those areas. Doesn't really matter what the stats are or aren't. I mean, it matters. They're somewhat relevant, but I think improving in every area is important. So, yeah, we're going to address it regardless in everything.
What changes inside the 20-yard line?
Less field. Offensively, everybody's closer to the line, so safeties are linebackers. Linebackers are, in a lot of cases, borderline defensive linemen. You know, everything's just compressed. So you have to, a lot of things you have to handle differently. Routes are different. Coverages are different.
The physical matchups become further underscored when there is less field like that, like you said.
They could, yeah. They could, yeah. I mean, it depends, again, on the matchup. But generally, you know, you see more size in that area because there's less space, so speed's less of a factor. It's always a factor, but less of a factor. Only so far you can run. So technique's important. You know, coordination offensively or defensively is important. The proper spacing, the proper leverage, you know, using the space that you have. And, of course, everything happens so much quicker down there because there's less space and less time. So throws and catches have to be good. A lot of tight coverage, a lot of catches away from the body into a short space. Defensively, you're fighting for every inch, every yard. It's critical. It's, you know, 2 yards at midfield is one thing. 2 yards on the 5 yard line is 50% of the length. You know, 50% of the field. So, you know, it's all heightened. It's all, you know, a little bit more urgent. And there are definitely some personnel and scheme factors that just, there's a transition period in there. But once you get down there low, like inside the 10-yard line or inside the 5-yard line, you're talking about a real, you know, it's tight space. Okay. Yep. All right. Thank you.